He started here. He is here. No one knows New York better. Geraldo, 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
They grow out of the conditions that I've mentioned all along. And as long as these intolerable conditions are there, as long as the Negro finds himself living every day in a major depression, every city will sit on a powder keg and can explode over the slightest incident. I feel that killing is a very tragic way to deal with any social problem. There is no violent solution to the problem that the Negro confronts in this country, and this is why I have constantly said that riots are socially destructive and self-defeating.
Socially destructive and self-defeating riots are, says Martin Luther King Jr. Let me start very close to home, though, ladies and gentlemen. It was a funeral that ended in chaos and murder and mayhem. And it was not in Baltimore. It was right here in Brooklyn. 15 shots ringing out outside the Emmanuel Church of God, where they were burying a guy, a middle-aged gangbanger, I guess, who had died of natural causes, but who apparently had left behind some grudges, or maybe his funeral was just used as an excuse to act out on grudges, some say, that were 10, 20 years old. A barrage of gunfire in Flatbush, Brooklyn, hitting six people, two of them fatally. The dead, including a 44-year-old guy hit in the chest. A 40-year-old guy took a bullet in the stomach. They died at Kings County Hospital last night. A 40-year-old guy, believed to be one of the gunmen, was found shot in the stomach five blocks away in a car on 32nd Street and Farragut Avenue, or Farragut Road, rather. None of the accomplices around, none of the gunmen around. 15 shots. Men, women, and children outside that church. One of the dead men jumped in front of his wife as the gunfire started. That's how he died. His wife suffering critical injuries. Community leaders are outraged by this gunplay, as they should be. Tony Herbert, who we'll be hearing from, the founder of One Family, One Community, he said, this again proves that there are too many guns on the streets in the hand of people of no regard for human life, I'll say. So I'll have all the details on this Brooklyn situation as it develops, as arrests are made. But before I get your calls, and I want very much to get you all in on this conversation. We'll be hearing from voices in Brooklyn and in Baltimore and in Washington and around the nation today on this very troubling day. What happened in Baltimore last night? That wasn't about free speech. That was free stuff. That's free stuff. Nobody's talking about poor dead Freddie Gray today in Baltimore. What the folks are talking about in Baltimore instead, they're not talking about this guy who's fatally injured during police custody. What they're talking about is the looting and the wreck of his hometown of Baltimore. Thugs throwing rocks at cops. You kidding me? Setting fires. 144 vehicle fires. 144 vehicle fires. 15 buildings. 15 buildings set on fire. Innocent bystanders, including journalists, assaulted. Stores pillaged. These thugs deserve no sympathy. They deserve no understanding. They weren't self-righteous. They were selfish. They have profaned the memory of Freddie Gray and Michael Brown and Eric Garner and Akai Gurley and every other unarmed black man who has fallen at the hands of cops charged with keeping the peace. These rioters have broken the social contract. That's the thin line that distinguishes the civilized world from the savage. They were exercising not free speech. They were grabbing free stuff, like I said. And my only comfort comes from the fact that most of the rioters at Baltimore, at least, were high school kids seizing the mayhem of the moment. And I have to tell you, I watched proudly as at least one brave mom righteously confronted her own son on the streets. You see that? Successfully getting that teenager home. Humiliating him in front of his friends. Where were the other parents? Where were the dads, for goodness sake? Baltimore and the nation need more parents like that brave lady last night. But now her neighborhood is wrecked. Those stores are smoldering. They've burned down. And you know what they took with them when they burned? They took the jobs for that lady's son. and the other young men there in Baltimore. And nobody's talking about Freddie Gray. Nobody's talking about Freddie Gray in Baltimore or in Brooklyn. Yeah, Tony Herbert, who I just quoted on the line with us right now. Tony, thank you very much for joining us. I mean, you must be as upset as I am right there, right now.
Yeah, man, it's just, you know, it's just crazy. You know, just having to deal with this senseless gun violence. You know, it's just, you know, innocent lives being lost over stupidity.
Now, I thought, Tony, that we had healed, that we had gone beyond this this anarchy. You know, what is going on? Is this the bitter fruit of ending stop and frisk, Tony?
Yeah, I think what this is still a continuation of folks not having access to resources that afford them to live in a positive atmosphere. That's just basically what it comes down to.
That may be cosmically, Tony, you may be right in some broad sense. But when you attend a funeral and someone right. brings up a beef from 20 years ago and guns right. are drawn and gunshots ring out, 15 shots, children around, a man throws himself in front of his wife to prevent her from being killed. Please, this is not about the social, disadvantage of people living in the inner city. This is about anarchists. This is about selfish, violent people who don't give a damn about anybody but their own beef, however ancient that beef may be, Tony.
Well, you're right in a large extent. But, you know, from my standpoint as a community leader, you know, the thought process and the conversation with individuals out here speaks to a lot of that, culminated with the fact that economics is definitely tied into the problem as well.
All right, Tony, listen, I love what you do. We need more of you. I am very, very upset here. I don't want us to go backward, and I don't want us to start abandoning the progress that we've made here. I've lived through a lot in this town. I lived through the 60s and the 77 riot and a lot of other things in between, blackouts and so forth, and I'm very, very disturbed. I don't want this to go backwards. But I appreciate it. Thank you very much,
Tony. Appreciate
Tony.
You, too. And great job on Celebrity Apprentice.
All right. I wish the whole world was just that silly stuff. Tony Herbert. Bob Constantini, now from Westwood One, is on the ground in Baltimore. Bob, I appreciate your coming on. Describe, first of all, the mood in that community this morning.
Well, Geraldo, I'm standing right at the intersection where the worst of it occurred yesterday and last night, across from the CVS that was vandalized, first looted and then burned. And a significant state police presence is here, but also some people from the community, some people from outside the community have come out to help clean up here a little bit. So that's at least a bit heartening because it's a very bright, sunny day here in Baltimore, but there's still going to be a lot of tension in the air, Geraldo, here.
So, Bob Constantini, Westwood won the Orioles game last night, canceled. The city seems to be in a paralyzed state with described law enforcement and military presence, as you can see it, Bob.
Well, the National Guard has been sent out by Governor Larry Hogan to the city. Where I am standing is a significant amount of state police presence here. They seem almost to be ready to open up the intersection, it looks like, so I may have to get out of the way eventually here. But, there's a lot of outside law enforcement as well here in the city trying to at least maintain some order here today. As far as the Orioles game is concerned, we're not exactly sure, but there's a 10 o'clock curfew for everybody to be off the street, so it seems kind of hard that they would be able to get that game down at Camden Yards, Geraldo.
So the mayor made some statements, Bob Constantini, that were at best ambiguous, saying she wanted to give space. What was exactly the language, Noam Layden? Play it for us. Here's the mayor.
She was...
Hold on, you got it?
Now I do.
Okay.
I understand anger, but what we're seeing isn't anger, is destruction of a community. The same community they say they care about, they're destroying. You can't have it both ways. To watch a group of criminals go through our city with an intent to destroy, what does that solve? You don't get justice.
All right, that's the remarks she made that were less controversial than her initial remarks. Give the rioters space to act out on their violence. Is she the target of intense criticism today, Bob Constantini of Westwood One?
For all that, she was very defensive about the earlier comments that she made in terms of almost giving them some space, if you will, to vent their anger, including and particularly after what happened Saturday evening, which was relatively close to Oriole Park at Camden Yards. Minor, obviously, compared to what's happened here in this part of Baltimore, in particular Northwest Baltimore. But Geraldo, this is an area, I'll tell you, that has not even really recovered from the 1968 riots, the assassination of Martin Luther King. And I was a boy when that happened here in Baltimore. And this is an area that continues to struggle. And some of the toughest, the worst neighborhoods in Baltimore that have been hit with this violence and looting.
Bob Constantini, I appreciate your melancholy reporting. We'll check back with you. Thanks very much.
All right.
All right, now, ladies and gentlemen, we already have plenty of you on the line. I appreciate 866-HERALDO. Give me your feelings about this, your feelings about the families involved, your feelings about whether this violence is being justified by certain segments of the community, where the community goes from here, and if there are any eyewitnesses to the incident right here at home in Brooklyn in Flatbush. Give me a call, 866, or I'll do it.
New York's biggest issues right now. This is Geraldo, 77 WABC.
It's a very delicate balancing act because while we tried to make sure that they were protected from the cars and the other things that were going on, we also gave those who wished to destroy space to do that as well.
She got
and we
space
worked
to
very
destroy.
Hard. To keep that balance and to put ourselves in the best position.
Did Mayor Blake say there that she gave the rioters space to destroy?
She did, yeah.
Please, that's incompetence per se. I know she tried to walk that remark back, but I guess subsequent investigation will tell us whether the mayor helped incite a riot in her own town. Dan, thank you very much for your patience. You're the first one up today, 866-HERALDO. What's on your mind, buddy?
Yeah, hey, Geraldo. You know, this is very predictable. You knew this was coming, and all you had to do was go back to, at the time, Assistant Cabinet Secretary Daniel Moynihan, who wrote his treatise on urban policy, and he said, the fatherless black community, and the numbers were going up, and this is 1965, he said, is going to lead to the destruction of that whole entire community. Pete Hamill has written a tremendous book about that, maybe about 15 years ago it came out, where he said, teenage boys rebel against their fathers. It's a, passage of rite. A rite of passage happens all the time. These children don't have a father, so they rebel against the government because it's the only enforcement in their lives. And until that problem is dealt with, and I don't see any of these phony reverends or any of these community organizers or these poverty pimps that make a great living off of these problems, addressing the real problem, and that is you can't have teenage children running around having children with two and three and four different women. The fathers disappear. There is no structure in the family, and this is what happens.
Can't disagree with you.
Where
are you in the Jersey Shore?
Me, I'm in Spring Lake.
Spring Lake. Well, let me tell you, my first story, thank you for your call. My first story was the Asbury Park riots, the summer of 1970, just to tell you the consequences. It was a thriving seaside community. It was integrated. I mean, the neighborhoods were segregated as they tend to be voluntarily and also for reasons of the economy, but it was a peaceful, thriving seaside community, Asbury Park. It ignited during that tumultuous period, 1970, my first story ever. Asbury Park took more than 30 years before it recovered. More than 30 years. Some say it never really recovered. 45 years ago, those riots were. The consequences to the city of Baltimore are so profound. They are devastating. Hey, John, thank you very much for calling.
Hello?
Hi, John, you're on. What's first of all, identify yourself.
Hey, Geraldo, good morning. I just wanted to talk to you about something I heard you say a couple weeks ago. I was kind of disappointed in it. I heard you start to jump on the de Blasio Bratton bandwagon about this hands-off approach they have in these communities of crime.
Oh, I don't have that. I'm a Stop and Frisk person.
Geraldo, I heard you say.
All right, be that as it may, what's your point, John?
My point is, stop questioning Frisk. It was just the beginning, Geraldo. And you're going to see what's going to happen this summer. I told you a long time ago, we had this debate before. You cannot handcuff the police for political reasons. It's a very slippery slope you go down when you do that.
I agree with that wholeheartedly. I fear this summer, if the good weather we had now is leading to this spike in violence, I wonder what August will be like. On CNN, they're saying that the fire is one of the 15 building fires destroyed a senior center where 60 elderly were in residence. I mean, how sick? How sick is that? In Long Island, Barry's on the line. What's up, Barry?
Hey, Geraldo, thanks for taking my call. Listen, as a product of Brownsville, Canarsie, East Flatbush, I grew up in all those neighborhoods. For the life of me, I don't understand why this only happens in black communities. We have a melange of races in this country. You don't see this happen anywhere else. And I'm really looking for a response from you because I don't get it. I don't get it. You know, and I think I'm an intelligent person. I don't know why only in black communities.
All right, I got it, Barry. I got it. And I don't want to do your question or your thesis justice. I will address that point on the black family and why are black folks always in the center of these messes.
The sound of the city, Geraldo, where New York comes to talk. 77 WABC.
I want y'all to get justice for my son, but don't do it like this here. Don't tear up the whole city, man. Just for him? That's wrong.
That's Freddie Gray's mom preaching, begging the community to cool it in Baltimore. Not to use her son's death in police custody as an excuse to ravage an entire community, destroying businesses that would otherwise be providing jobs for those young men, to keep them on the straight and narrow so they wouldn't go the way Freddie Gray went. The caller just before the break asked me, why are these events happening primarily in the black communities? Let me just tell you a story. I've told Noam before, but it's been a while, but I want to tell you the story. So my friend Frankie DiCecco and I stole a 1955 Oldsmobile long, long time ago. We were in high school. We took him for the tires. Tires ended up not fitting my car or Frankie's car. So we just abandoned everything. We left the old Oldsmobile on blocks and the tires right where they lay. One night, my father says to me, come on, son, you got to come with me. And we walked down, we drove down to the police precinct in West Babylon, Suffolk County. When I walked in, I didn't know what it was about. I had my fears, my suspicions, but I didn't know for sure. I'm with my dad. And Frankie is there at the precinct waiting with his dad, Jimmy. And they took us into the room in the back, the detectives did. And there were the tires from the Oldsmobile. And my dad looked at me. And my dad was crushed that his son would so dishonor the family name, so embarrass him. I never stole anything again. I never went that road again because I had so embarrassed my dad and humiliated myself. The consequences of not having that dad in the house is undeniable. You cannot feel that a young man can raise himself in the hard, mean streets of Baltimore or Flatbush without a dad. You saw that shot, many of you, on CNN, that brave mother. going up to her 15-year-old, who has it was all swathed in black, his face covered. She recognized him. She went up to him, well-dressed lady, a little bit on the heavy side, just a regular, proud woman, obviously a self-sufficient, strong woman. She went up to her son. She started whacking him up the side of the head, saying, "You get your ass home. You get your ass home." This was the stud who had been rioting and throwing rocks and menacing the authorities in Baltimore and joining his friends there to destroy property. And his mom is what stopped them, humiliated him, took him down to size. "You get home." Taking the mask off his face, you see his face, his baby face. The moms have too much responsibility in these communities, where more than three out of every four black family now has no dad in the house, certainly not the father of the children. Two out of four Latino families, same thing. One out of four white families, same thing. Those boys, those young men, are living life with a disadvantage that is gigantic, that words alone can never express, unless, like me, you have been to that place where your dad stood up for you, yanked you back from the abyss, and got you straight, the way that mom did yesterday in Baltimore. I tell you, speaking now just politically with the elections coming up, I want our elected leaders not to do the knee jerk here. What are they going to do? Urban renewal in Baltimore? They're going to rebuild, open the CVS, and they'll sweep up the broken glass, and they'll go, they'll compensate the 144 people whose vehicles were burned, and they'll pay off the cops who were injured. And they'll throw money at this, and they'll think that that's going to fix Baltimore or Brooklyn. It's not. I want our politicians to say what has to be fixed first is the family. Bring that man back into the house. He's the one that could say to that 15-year-old, "Where are you going, son? Why are you bringing that black scarf? Where are you? What's up? You think you're going down there to join those punks there, breaking up that store? No way. You get to your room." That's the kind of society we need. Social programs have to be designed to keep men at home. A lot of these jail offenses for minor drug possession that decimated, wiped out a generation or two or three generations of young black men, sending them to prison, taking them away from their families. These are stupid. Rand Paul gets it. Tough on crime. How tough on crime can you be? You want to bring the 82nd Airborne into every neighborhood? You want to bring them to Flatbush? You want to bring them to downtown Baltimore? Ferguson, Missouri? Is that what you want? 100, the 101st Airborne? Are they going to keep the... No. The dads are the key. The family is the key. And the faith-based family is the super enemy of anarchy and crime and disintegration and lost ways. We need practical, heartfelt, traditional approaches to some of these situations. John in Queens, you're on the air. What's up, John?
Yes, how you doing, Geraldo? You made a couple of points I did wanted to touch. Yes, I'm a black man. I'm from Queens. And a couple of points you made. The one in Baltimore with the riots. I disagree with the riots and the protests, but I understand what's going on. I mean, I'm upset with the mayor due to the fact that she never expressed that the police department never showed accountability. You know? I mean, two wrongs doesn't make a right. you know, the way the police handled that little boy over there was totally wrong. And it takes a village to raise a child more than a father. I mean, there has to be a whole, and that's the whole thing. It takes a village to raise a child. For the mayor to be in a type of power and position that she's in, she should have made the police department show some sort of accountability and wouldn't be no riot. That's one thing I feel. Two, yes, I agree the father is an important role, but there's no excuse for you to do wrong.
What happens now, John, in that neighborhood? And I believe you are a sincere, good-hearted person. What happens now in that community? How do you go from today to tomorrow? Do you think realistically that the way they treated the... I have Jermoni Williams on the line. John, hang on. I have my friend, the councilman from Brooklyn, Jermoni Williams, on the line. Councilmember, I just wonder how you're feeling today with not only Baltimore, but with that, what happened in Flatbush at the church yesterday. Just tell me what's going on in your heart, Councilman.
Well, you know, obviously, with the shooting, you know, I was trying to find a word that really encapsulated how you're feeling. And at a certain point, you just start to feel numbness. I mean, there's three churches and a Masonic temple that's supposed to be of higher consciousness, and you have a shooting, and someone, you shouldn't go to a funeral and then birth other funerals. So it's very, very disturbing and disheartening. I would say it's not the usual young people. These were folks who were older, 30s and 40s, that were shot and actually doing the shooting. Long-standing, we understand, issues with each other that were brewing, and it's unfortunate. And I mean, we got to do something, obviously, with the supply of guns coming in and the demand for violence with Baltimore.
Wait, before you get to Baltimore... In Brooklyn, what about stop and frisk, Jermoni Williams, council member? If they were stop and frisk, would they have had the arrogance to bring those guns to the funeral?
So, first, we have to know that Brooklyn South and Brooklyn North, actually, Brooklyn has been down in shootings year to date, even though the city's been up. And that particular precinct has been down in shootings, which we're proud of, as opposed to, as to about last week. And of course, this is six people that's going to put a dent in some numbers. And none of that means anything to the people who are getting shot. One, I hope stop, question, and frisk is still continuing because it's a tool that the police need. The only thing that we were talking about is the unconstitutionality of what was happening. So if we're saying you should be able to violate the Constitution to keep folks safe, that's a discussion that people, should have on a larger scale. In addition, there has been still no correlation between the amount of stops and shootings. If we had this conversation...
I get it. You're still ambivalent about stop and frisk. I get it, Jermoni Williams. What about Baltimore?
I'm not ambivalent about it at all, just so we're clear. I'm not ambivalent. You have to be able to stop for reasonable suspicion and frisk and search for probable cause.
What if there's a funeral and there's Bloods and Crips attending and they're all standing staring at each other outside and you're the beat cop? Don't you think that under the old regime... There's no doubt the cop would have gotten out of the police cruiser, gone up and said, what's that bump in your pocket there, mister?
Well, one, we have no evidence that the shooting was because of gang relations. I know there were people who may have been affiliated, but there was nothing to say that that's what caused it. It was a longstanding issue between people who knew each other. And what was happening there wasn't that they were stopping people who were affiliated, and frisking them, they were stopping entire communities. And we're not going to go back to that. In addition, if you go into anybody's house at any time, you'll be able to stop crime. But we have a society that says that certain things are not constitutional, and we don't want to make that exchange of a stopping crime and violating people's rights.
You know that, Jermoni Williams, I recall that the guy, the murderous savage who killed Officer Ramos and Lou came from Baltimore. Is Baltimore now a breeding ground for this kind of violence? What is that? Is that just by happenstance?
I think this nation has to begin to deal with long-standing issues in these communities. I won't promote.
And you don't think the family, the disintegration of the family, that's the central issue?
I think discrimination of family across the board is problematic. in all communities, particularly, and it's, you know, no doubt in these communities. But what we keep trying to avoid is historic and systemic things that are unique to these communities. Now, this is the quote I'm going to say, and I said before, from Dr. Martin Luther King, said, "Riots are the language of the unheard." I can't promote or condone the violence there and the destruction of property, but you have to talk about that in the same sentence of what are these people trying to communicate that they have been unable to communicate.
I wonder, though, Jumaane, I got to let you go. I'm way past time, but I wonder is if was there a message there, or was this pure greed? I mean, they weren't exercising their right of self-expression. They were exercising their right to be selfish.
I think what the question is, as we talk about making sure that this doesn't continue, we can't refuse to answer the question, what is happening in those communities that are causing these responses? What is being ignored? If we keep ignoring things that are going to keep causing these responses.
I really have to let you go. I'm getting the wraps on. But, I hold you in the highest regard, Councilman. I appreciate you coming on.
From New York, for New York, live, local, on it, Geraldo, 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
Just have a couple of minutes here. We ran long in the previous segment, so I just have a couple of minutes before we have got to take the news break. Let me take one quick call from John in Queens. Hey, John, what's up?
Hey, how you doing, Geraldo?
I appreciate you calling. What are you thinking about?
Well, yeah, in response to concern with the riots and everything like that, and even with the Brooklyn situation, I know there's a culture in the quote-unquote hood where, especially gang culture, where usually a shooting would happen at a funeral if that person who had passed away, if they did a certain crime like a murder to one of their members or their family members in the past, no matter how many years it may be, that's what usually happens.
So you believe that what happened was a revenge killing for a very old beef?
Correct.
So how do you fix that, John? What do you think about that? I mean, as a young man, I don't know where you live or if you live in the hood. I mean, how do you keep yourself out of that?
I'm from Jamaica. I've resided in Hempstead. I'm just seeing things like that happen all the time. It's usually between gang versus gang or family member versus another certain family member, you know, where if the killing happened. Usually it happened with a killing. If somebody got killed in the past from that particular person or a group of the affiliates and no retaliation.
I got it. I got it, John. I got to let you go. I've got to take the news break. We'll be back, ladies and gentlemen.
He started here. He is here. No one knows New York better. Geraldo, 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
Marvin Gaye could be our second national anthem right now. Very distressing. Troops in the streets of Baltimore. The National Guard now has fanned out. At least 15 officers hurt. At least a couple of dozen arrests. No, 200 arrests. 144 fires, 15 buildings burned. 144 vehicles, that is. There's a curfew now, 10 p.m. to 5 a.m. in the city of Baltimore. State of emergency declared. The president is meeting with the Japanese prime minister right now in Washington. They do that kind of meet and greet. It would be political malpractice for him not to mention something about this. Loretta Lynch, the first black female ever to hold the office of attorney general, the chief law enforcement officer in the country now. I would hope that she, too, will be going before a microphone. This deeply distressing day. Tamika Mallory is a wonderful person, a sincere, intelligent person, an activist, civil rights leader, an anti-violence proponent. And she joins us live right now. Tamika, are you in mourning right now? What are you thinking about now?
Well, I mean, you know, Geraldo, it's certainly a sad day. I definitely didn't get any sleep on the phone with Baltimore activists and organizers all evening on social media. And it's been going on for several days. This is just the point when the rest of the world is getting to see it. But, you know, we as activists knew that this was coming for some time, particularly right after the death of Freddie Gray. And so it's a sad day.
So how do you feel that nobody's talking about Freddie Gray? Everyone's talking about the CVS that burned and the old folks' home that burned and the fact that the city now just struggling to get off the canvas now gets staggered by this. Baseball game's closed. You know, it's just it seems like people have just taken a giant step backward, Tamika.
Well, I think, you know, while some may think it's a giant step backwards, and certainly I do not condone or encourage people to be violent and to destroy communities. However, the people of Baltimore have been living in destroyed communities. When I was there during the March for Justice, we walked through that community.
Just last week.
And just last week, actually the week before, we saw that the buildings were already abandoned. They were already burned down. The people in Baltimore are living in conditions very close to third world countries. People are on all different types of drugs. They're on corners. They look terrible. I don't know if you remember the show The Wire.
Sure. It's set in Baltimore. Absolutely.
That is reality TV for Baltimore. And so this has already been going on. And when you say people have stopped talking about Freddie Gray, well, some of us haven't. But nonetheless, many of the people who you see there on the ground, they're not dealing with Freddie Gray. They're dealing with the socioeconomic crisis that's been happening in Baltimore for quite some time.
You know, I agree with a lot of what you say. And, you know, it doesn't take an expert in urban life to drive through Baltimore, as I have many times, and see the devastation. Noam was just mentioning it. You know, how bad it was. No.
Yeah, you take the Amtrak in, and that gives you a great view of what's going on. You go from a community that looks just completely devastated, and the buildings look abandoned, that type of thing, and then you pull into Penn Station, Baltimore, you walk up, and if you walk a couple blocks east, all of a sudden you're in brand spanking new Baltimore, and you say, hey, what's going on here? Brand new Baltimore, old Baltimore like it was 50 years ago.
But, you know, Tamika, you're not going to have a situation, I don't think, where the reflex is going to be, okay, let's heal that community. I think rather what you're going to see in reaction to this, and Tamika Mallory is my guest, the nationally recognized civil rights advocate and anti-violence advocate, let me hasten to add, I think what you're going to see are calls for much more stringent law and order, crime and punishment. I think that that's a...
Well, I think, Geraldo, what you're also going to see are other cities going through the same thing. I think what people are missing is that this is not just contained to Baltimore. This is going to spread across the nation if we do not address, again, the socioeconomic conditions of people. You know, I was
Okay, Tamika, let me just, I have my colleague Peter Ducey from Fox News on the line. I'm going to lose him. Just stand by, Tamika. I'll come back to you. Peter, so where are you, buddy, and what are you seeing there?
Geraldo, right now we are in East Baltimore. Where we stopped on our way to the burned down senior center over near the church here in East Baltimore. It's got a beautiful view of downtown, but obviously nothing nice about what's been going on this morning. And really, it's been a very up and down day. So far, what we've seen, you know, when we first hit the streets, we heard gunshots, there were fires burning, there were sirens blaring. Then people started turning up and they were saying that they were going to clean, and there are a lot of people here who are trying to tidy up some of the things that were destroyed last night. But just in the last hour, on our way to an organized cleanup event, we saw a group of young guys who looked like they would probably be in school if school was not completely closed today, looting a shoe store and being immediately arrested. So really, today has been all over the place, and there's still a long way to go till that 10 p.m. curfew kicks in.
So let me ask you, Peter, and I you're not a soothsayer, but what are you expecting tonight?
You know, it's going to be interesting because there are already a couple hundred National Guardsmen here. I would have thought that there was no way we were going to see looting in broad daylight just hours after the National Guard and several hundred Maryland State Troopers showed up. But we've already seen that, and it's not even lunchtime yet. So tonight, you know, as you know, Geraldo, sometimes when the guys with the big guns show up at these events, people get more anxious. So it's hard to say.
All right, Peter, thank you very much for that report. I'll be joining you. I'm jumping on a train in about 20 minutes, so I'll see you down there. Peter Ducey, excellent report from a fine young correspondent at Fox News. Tamika, you heard what he said. You want to respond? You know, here's my problem. My problem is there is a perception that the most egregious civil rights issue of the moment is unarmed black men dying at the hands of law enforcement. That is that's the central issue. That's where this began. You know, Trayvon Martin started it, even though George Zimmerman obviously wasn't a cop, but he was a pseudo cop. And then it spread, and Eric Garner and Michael Douglas and Akai Gurley, et cetera, et cetera. But what you have now, I fear, is a situation where you have epidemic urban rioting and looting, and I fear that will be the sole focus of our national leaders, the local leaders. It's going to be, how do you keep your city safe? How do you restore law and order? How do you allow working people to get back to their jobs, school children to go to their school, sports fans to go to Camden Yards?
Well, the answer to that is you got to deal with the root of the problem. People want to talk about the riot and not the root. And so what we're going to see happen across the nation, as I just said, is that this will continue to happen in different pockets across America because the people are revolting. And, yes, these young people, what they're doing is wrong. They will not necessarily get what it is that they need. But what happens when you march and you do a prayer vigil and a candlelight vigil and then the courts come back and tell you that the officer won't even be indicted for the killing of your friend or somebody in your community? What happens when you see another young person get beat down and killed in your community and nobody does anything? What are the options that we're giving these young people?
You paint a very grim picture, though, to make it answer your own question.
Well, the question becomes, what are we doing?
I know the question. What's the answer?
The answer is that we have to, one, arrest the cops. That's the first thing. It is very clear. If you look at South Carolina, you notice that people did not go crazy around the Walter Scott issue as we could have if, in fact, there was no charge for that officer. So to call us crazy and to call the protesters and the people on the ground crazy is wrong, because if you see people handled themselves with an appropriate fashion in South Carolina after Walter Scott was shot. In this case, people are actually trying to make the case that perhaps what we believe or what we saw is not accurate. The same thing with Eric Garner. This man was killed on a videotape. We know it happened. And people are trying to tell us what we saw with our eyes is not correct. So, you know, at the bottom line is, again, while I don't agree with tearing down the community, sometimes you must tear things down in order for it to be rebuilt.
All right, Tamika, I've got to let you go. But I appreciate your eloquence and your passion and your sincerity. And I appreciate you coming on.
Thank you.
That's Tamika Mallory. You know, put aside the rioting. I know it's very difficult to put it aside because it is the atmosphere. It's the air you breathe, the smoke that you breathe, and you see the destruction and the anarchy. But the South Carolina situation, I mean, she makes a point that is hard to deny. You know, the cop arrested immediately, overcharged, in my view, with murder. He should have been charged with manslaughter. Still, the fact is that there was rapid, justified official action. In Baltimore, you have a situation where, like here, the cops don't have to talk to the authorities for some specific number of days because of the union contract. And then, it's a relatively benign confrontation. And that's why nobody is arrested. No cop is arrested yet in Baltimore. Only one of the seven has even agreed to cooperate, as far as I know. I mean, I got to do some more research on that. Not that any of that forgives what's happening. And that's the sin of what's happening. Because no one's talking about issues that I've just explained about cops being held responsible and action being taken at the civil rights level. because all we can see is 15-year-old kids who should be home, should be in school, destroying the livelihood of some 35-year-old person or the home of some 75-year-old person.
Geraldo, live, local. Today's most important New York stories, only on 77 WABC.
The president the president of the United States has just met with Loretta Lynch, the new attorney general of the United States. They did a photo op. I think it was just the White House photographer, though. No press allowed and no statements yet. It is incumbent on the president and on the head of the Justice Department, it seems to me, to make some statements. Not far from the White House at the Supreme Court of the United States, before I get back to our very important topic today, at the Supreme Court, you know, they are arguing on the constitutionality of the state laws that prohibit gay marriage. Everyone thought that the Supreme Court would be a slam dunk in favor of gay marriage. It does not appear to be going quite as smoothly as that. The Chief Justice, John Roberts, whose vote is seen as critical here, he said that gay couples are not seeking to join the institution of marriage. They're seeking to change it. Supreme Court Justice Anthony Kennedy, who is really the pivotal swing vote, he has just said that marriage has been understood as one man, one woman for millennia plus time. And he said that gay marriage has only been debated for 10 years. And he wonders whether scholars and the public need more time. So the headline there is gay marriage not going as smoothly in the Supreme Court as many, including me, thought would occur. Okay, now back to the rioting in Baltimore following the death of Freddie Gray, the 25-year-old man who was arrested and was in fairly good shape. Half hour later, his back was broken. Six cops suspended with pay. Nobody arrested, at least not yet. Is it six or seven cops? It's basically...
That are injured?
No, that six or seven cops... involved in the arrest of Freddie Gray.
Six cops.
So what are you thinking? 866 Geraldo. Tony, thank you for your patience in White Plains. What's on your mind?
Yeah, Geraldo, the guy to call up before, you know, it takes a village to raise a child. That's a bunch of crap. I mean, it takes a mother and a father to raise a child. I know you know that too. But, I'm sure you were watching the coverage last night, right?
I was, yes, well, indeed.
You know that when they were running, the stolen cars, they were running through the fire and everything? I mean, this might not sound right, you know, but like the Muslims are killing Christians and we're standing by doing nothing and everything.
Right.
Well, it looked like kind of the same type of thing. And I kept hoping and wishing that those cars would blow up and kill some of those people. And maybe that would send a good message. And maybe, you know, they wouldn't do that kind of crap again.
I can't comment.
I know it sounds kind of cruel, but
yeah, it's I just wonder where that leads us, though, Tony. I mean, start blowing up the cars, then you have an all-out war. I think the mayor was wrong in her initial comments that seemed to give license to the anarchists. But there's a jump from being strict about enforcing your law and shooting to kill when a life is not threatened. I mean, it's just...
Yeah, but they might think...
I understand your rage, brother. Listen, I'm not putting you down. I understand it.
I want to tell you one more thing.
Go ahead, Tony, quick.
You know the people that are on the fence, you know how they feel about black people and all that? You know what they say when they see stuff like that? Look at those ends. You know what I'm talking about?
I do. Thank you, Tony. I appreciate it. It's rough, man. And it never gets easy, you know? You know, as many years as I've covered this, I just look at it and I lament that so many struggling folks are going to have a tougher life, not an easier.
Get Geraldo now. Get in on New York's most important stories. 866 Geraldo, 77 WABC.
People, don't you understand? A child needs a helping hand. He'll grow to be an angry young man someday. Take a look at you and me. Are we too blind to see? Do we simply turn our heads and look the other way? Well, the world turns. A hungry little boy with a runny nose plays in the street as the cold wind blows in the ghetto. And his hunger burns. So he starts to roam the streets at night, and he learns how to steal, and he learns how to fight in the ghetto. Then one night in desperation, the young man breaks away. He buys a gun, steals a car, tries to run, but he don't get far. And his mama cries.
Elvis, more than a half a century ago.
As a crowd gathers round, an angry young man.
There's a state of emergency declared in Baltimore. There's a curfew enacted. 144 vehicle fires, 15 buildings.
On a cold and gray Chicago.
Over 200 arrests. 15 cops hurt. More than a dozen of the bystanders also hurt. At least 8 reporters and cameramen injured. Several last night. The president has spoken with the mayor, Stephanie Rawlings Blake. The mayor has updated the president. I haven't heard the president speak to the public yet. It is incumbent on him to do that. He met with his attorney general, Loretta Lynch. She's just been sworn in, and she has her hands full already. At 11:45, I'm leaving this microphone, running downstairs to catch the Amtrak train to Baltimore. My esteemed colleague, Noam Layden, will be fielding your calls. Danielle in Long Island, hi, what's on your mind?
Hi, I just wanted to say that I really appreciate the remarks that Geraldo made concerning...
I'm still here, I'm still here. I got you, Danielle.
Sorry, Geraldo. I loved what you said about the need for a mother and a father in a child's life. Until that happens, yes, it takes a village to support a parent raising a child, but it takes a parent and preferably two parents to raise a healthy, happy, good child. And we have a problem in this country, not just in the African-American community, across the board.
I agree. And, you know, people get divorced, obviously. I'm not, and I appreciate your call, Danielle. Thank you very much. People get divorced. The problem isn't the divorce. The problem is that the man so often walks away from his responsibilities and starts another family often. I mean, that to me is where the rubber meets the road. You don't have to be happily married with the spouse of your child to recognize that you have your own responsibilities. It's not all her job. I mean, how many times do you see in these inner city families where it's the grandmother who is the main parent, and then her daughter is the hands-on, the most immediate, often the mother works, not there. Dad is nowhere. Too often. Too often. See, I would reward. I know Chris Rock says it's what you're supposed to do when you're a man is to take care of your family. I understand that.
Right.
I would still reward it. I would still bribe people to get positive behavior. Now, I don't want to drift too far afield. I don't want us to get into the economic inequalities and the unfairness of life and all the rest. We get it. This is very specifically now we are talking about several things. We're talking about law and order on the streets of Baltimore, not to mention the streets of Flatbush, Brooklyn, where 2 people were killed yesterday. And we're talking about the appropriate response to the issue. And I heard people say, including the congressman from Baltimore, I forget his name. It's one of the great civil rights pioneers. It's just I'm blanking on him. I picture him right in front of me. He said that, you know, the civil rights issue of our time or the police killing unarmed black men. I get that. But right now you've got to restore law and order. You've got to punish the people who have destroyed the property and hurt the innocent. And you've got to implement some of these reforms. Tasers instead of guns or with guns. Taser, every cop a taser, no tanks, tasers. Body cameras. Presume federal jurisdiction, each and every police killing. There are things you can do. You can say. You can be affirmative. You can say, yes, we have this issue.
There are many, many other issues, but I get that this has become so incendiary. But it doesn't help anybody to burn down a store that provided jobs, that provided some semblance of normalcy and security in a community. My last call, no one will take over after this, is Dave. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Geraldo. Good to speak to you. Geraldo, the root of everything that is going on in Baltimore is racial hustle, racial demagoguery. Did you hear the remarks yesterday of the so-called preacher after Freddie Gray's funeral? No quicker did the service end that he led the congregation in the chant of "No justice, no peace." I was so enraged. You know, at a church service, you know, carry your victimology someplace else. Give the family a chance to grieve. You know, and as an Oriole fan, lifelong, I am outraged that my team cannot play in their home park because knuckleheads and savages have decided to take over the town.
All right. I appreciate your call. Sincere, man. And, you know, I get it. And, you know, when you use words like savages, I get that. That is very irksome to people also. When you have wanton disregard for the person and property of others, what is it, though, but savagery? It is certainly an uncivilized act. It is a selfish act.
Well, it's what you said before. It's they're aiming for stuff that they don't have already or adding to what they have already. When you break into a CVS, what do you steal?
What do you steal?
You probably go for the most expensive things, no? Or you just go for anything.
I think they just go for anything. I think in the frenzy of that moment, they just go for anything.
Geraldo on the 77 WABC app. Get it before you really need it. WABCradio.com.
All right, Geraldo on his way to Baltimore. So you got me, Noam Layden, till the top of the hour. That's when Curtis and Kubi take over. Talking about the mess in Baltimore. The numbers just really horrifying. So distressing, so depressing. 144 vehicles set on fire, 15 buildings burned down, 15 cops hurt, and 6 of them serious condition. 8 reporters, cameramen hurt last night. Is it a battle of the haves and the haves not? You know, is that what's going on here in Baltimore? As I was talking about this before, as I took my Amtrak train ride into Baltimore, you do get it. When you pull into Baltimore, it's like the half a mile or so before you get to downtown Baltimore and the Penn Station there. It's just one depressed building after another, and there are people living in a lot of those buildings. And do they look to the brand spanking new Baltimore and they wonder when that's going to happen for us? Is it the generations of poverty? One generation after another who can't seem to get out of that cycle of poverty? Is that what's going on, or is it just reckless kids in the middle of the street doing what they please because they feel like they can? Here's an excuse to do it. We're taking your calls. Let's see. Let's go to Lori. Lori is in Harlem. You're on the Geraldo Rivera Show. Good morning, Lori.
Yes, good morning. Someone earlier quoted Daniel Patrick Moynihan, and the only reason why I'm mentioning this, since he was quoted, Daniel Patrick Moynihan also quoted that black people, white people have castrated black people for so long, they need not do it any longer because black people now do it to themselves. I'm only mentioning that since someone was quoting Senator Moynihan. Secondly, I would there are several people speaking about black people like we're some endangered species that's fell from another planet. Would you want to know exactly what happened to the black family? During the 60s, during the civil rights movement, when we were becoming educated and moving on, and we lived I lived in Harlem all my life, and my door stayed open. I could sleep on my fire escape. This is how we lived. Then there was an influx of heroin that entered our communities, black communities, that destroyed damn near everyone.
And then it was
crack.
From
there, it went on to angel dust. From angel dust, it went to crack. Yeah. Now it's guns. I don't understand how we're even alive. Thank you for accepting my call.
Yeah, good to talk to you with Lori. I mean, look, she makes a lot of sense. Look, you see the drug epidemic there and what it's done to destroy the families, and you wonder why so many of these kids in some of these urban communities are living with their grandmothers. It's because in some cases the parents just aren't alive or behind bars. you know, so distressing. Let's see. Susan in Brooklyn, you're on the Geraldo Rivera Show. Good morning, Susan.
Hi. Of course, we all believe at least two adults raising a child is a lot better than a single mother. But I believe that since we're spending $23 billion a year on 1.1 million children here in New York City, the graduation rate is around 40%, so that 60% are not graduating. The unemployment rate, especially for minorities, is over 20% for males, and it's even higher for girls that don't get a high school education. So where is this $23,000 per student going? And if at least the charter schools were making an effort and actually having some good results with poor minorities, and where are the reasonable Democrats and where are the Republicans pushing back the mayor who got tremendous donations from teachers' unions is trying to destroy the things that were helpful.
Yeah, well, you make good points, Susan. I'm a big charter school advocate. Every kid should be educated in a great charter school, have the same advantages as some of those kids who are in the charter schools today. Geraldo will be live from Baltimore tomorrow. Don't miss it, starting 10 a.m. Curtis and Kubi, they're up next.